What transforms a legend into a ghost? In a quiet inn called the Waystone, a red-haired man named Coat polishes glasses with mechanical precision, his movements careful and contained. But this is no ordinary innkeeper. This is Quoth the Bloodless, once the most gifted student the university had ever seen, now living under an assumed name in self-imposed exile. When a scribe named Chronicler arrives to record his story, we discover a world unraveling at the seams, demon attacks on the roads, towns going silent, and social order crumbling. Yet the most unsettling mystery isn't what's happening outside, it's what happened to Quoth himself. How does someone capable of calling down lightning and charming the legendary Felurian end up unable to perform the simplest magic? The contrast between past and present creates a haunting tension that pulses through every page, reminding us that we're watching a tragedy unfold, even as the younger Quoth seems to be ascending toward greatness. At the university, Quoth battles poverty, rivalry, and unrequited love. Ambrose escalates their feud by stealing Denna's ring and poisoning Quoth with an inhibition-stripping drug. In a raw moment, Quoth breaks down in Ori's arms, mourning his murdered parents. When he pawns his loot, his last connection to his lost family, the grief cuts deeper than any spell. Master Elodin's eccentric naming lessons teach that true understanding requires seeing beneath surfaces. Small facts lead to great knowing. Wisdom accumulates through patient attention, not grand revelations. Kavoth's rooftop meetings with Ori reveal profound gentleness, a stark contrast to the clever trickster he shows the world. These sections balance fantasy with achingly real struggles, showing how magical education collides with universal human experience. Financial desperation drives Quoth to Severin, where he enters service under Mayor Alvaron, one of the Commonwealth's most powerful nobles. Here, academic brilliance means little court politics demand different intelligence. Through Bredin, an elderly nobleman, Quoth learns tack, a strategic game mirroring courtly intrigue. The point is to play a beautiful game, Bredin insists, challenging Quoth's win-at-any-cost instinct. This philosophy represents a fundamental shift. Sometimes, elegance trumps efficiency. When Quoth discovers the mayor is being slowly poisoned by his own arcanist, his direct approach nearly gets him killed before he learns to navigate noble conversation's subtle currents. The courtship between the mayor and Melwan Lackless adds dramatic irony. Melwan's hatred of the Edda Maru stems from her sister running away with a traveling performer, possibly Quoth's own father. Most intriguing is the Lackless Box, an ancient heirloom with no visible opening, containing something that shifts inside. This mysterious object connects to childhood folklore and hints at deeper secrets about the Chandrian. Leading mercenaries into the Eld to hunt bandits, Cloth navigates complex group dynamics. Dedan's bluster, Hespe's practicality, Tempe's stoic reserve, where respect must be earned. Through Tempe, he encounters Adam culture and the Lathani, an ethical framework emphasizing right action from inner knowledge rather than external rules. The bandit confrontation climaxes when Quoth calls down lightning, nearly dying while the bandit leader, revealed as Cinder, one of the Chandrian, escapes, demonstrating both his growing power and his limitations against ancient evils. His most fantastical adventure follows, pursuing the legendary Felurian into the Fae Realm. This seductive being lures men to madness and death, yet Quoth survives months as her lover and student in the Fae's perpetual twilight, where time flows differently. When Felurian attempts to enslave his mind, Quoth enters perfect awareness, seeing her true nature and singing a song that captures her essence, a demonstration of naming magic that impresses even her. She teaches that stories grant immortality, fearing a mediocre song about herself more than death itself. Traveling to Admire with Tempe, who faces punishment for teaching an outsider, Quoth encounters the novel's most fully realized foreign culture. The Adam invert fantasy conventions, Women hold authority, and emotional expressiveness, not physical modesty, is shameful. Their belief that men play no role in reproduction explores how beliefs shape perception. Training under Vachette, the hammer, provides profound development. Unlike university subjects that come naturally, the Khetan martial art forces Kvothe to unlearn habits and embrace unfamiliar concepts, humanizing him beyond natural talent. The Atom view fighting as regrettable necessity, taking no pleasure in combat but only in following the Lathani, their philosophical code. When Kvothe suggests he's learning merely to win fights, Vachette explodes. "You think I am teaching you to win fights? What a laughable little mind you have." The culmination, Kvothe's test at the Sword Tree, combines physical challenge with philosophical depth. Rather than fighting through whirling leaves that could slice his skin, he uses naming to still the wind, then walks out empty-handed, demonstrating the test wasn't about obtaining a prize, but revealing character through action. After leaving Edimre, Kvothe discovers bandits impersonating the Edimuru while abusing two kidnapped girls. His response is methodical vengeance. He gains their trust, drugs their drinks, then systematically kills the entire false troop. The leader, a leg, he leaves with a gut wound designed for prolonged suffering. "I did the most terrible thing I have ever done," Kvothe later confesses. This massacre reveals depths of darkness he didn't know he possessed. The aftermath in Levenshire offers bitter lessons. Despite his heroic rescue, townspeople whisper about rue tricks. Even grateful parents show unease upon learning his heritage. Individual actions, however noble, rarely overcome collective prejudice. Upon returning to Severin, his forced revelation of rue heritage to Meluin Lackless, who particularly despises the rue, proves catastrophic. Though the mayor continues funding his education, the loss of patronage represents significant setback. The sequence raises complex questions about justice, vengeance, and the price of honor in a world bound by rigid prejudice. Kvothe's search for the Chandrian and Amir reveals dangerous truths about knowledge itself. The university archives show systematic information removal through contradictory accounts. His encounter with the Cathay, a malevolent oracle seeing all possible futures, becomes the novel's most disturbing moment. It reveals Denna's Pretrin beats her, and that Cinder led the bandits, delivering painful truths with malicious intent. If this being truly chooses the most destructive path in every interaction, Kvothe has become like a plague ship sailing for a harbor, spreading catastrophe wherever he goes. This recontextualizes everything. His seemingly heroic journey might be part of a greater tragedy. The novel's title references a saying, "There are three things all wise men fear: the sea and storm, a night with no moon, and the anger of a gentleman." By the end, Kvothe has encountered all three, particularly as his gentle nature gives way to terrible anger. As he returns to the university with new wealth and reputation, the frame story reminds us this successful young man will somehow transform into Kote, someone who has lost his magic and seems to be waiting to die. In a world where names hold power, storytelling becomes magic itself. Perhaps Kvothe is attempting one final piece of magic, not to change what happened, but to help us understand why.